They're giving away points to the loudest section. I think they're still giving away points. If you guys want to be loud as you want. They're still giving out points. They're still giving out points. All right. They're still giving out points. Some quit so early, they're still giving out points, and you guys quit yelling. If you all could turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start there today, go to a couple places in the Bible. Appreciate you guys' spirit, and the first spirit week they had like this was when I was a sophomore in college, and we did not win that week. They always let either two groups win, right? It's either the seniors because they want them to leave happy and the freshmen because they want them to stay, right? The sophomores and the juniors always get completely, except one team that said they won every year, but not true. Not true. Not true. Can you please let the seniors win this year so Nathan Harrelson can leave? So he could just move on. But at the end of chapel, at the end of my message, I will reveal what team I'm identifying with today. So that way, in case you need some extra points. Sorry. I got about 8,000 text messages from Johnny Greer last night about helping the juniors, yet zero gift bags today. So don't know what that's about. So if I had like 8 gift bags, I'd be like, okay. And Brother Froakie, I don't like to be on the same team as the color of the Red Sox, okay? So it's not going to happen, brother. But Brother Collins made a great point this morning about how Spirit Week's a great way for you guys to come together and unify and be focused after this week on what the Lord has for you guys in your life. And the reason all of you are here and for some reason or another is because at some moment in time, God called you out of the crowd and spoke to your heart about doing something for Him. And that's the reason that you're here. And I'm sorry to say that that comes with a negative side, and that negative side is it comes with a giant target on your back. And there's not one person in the entire universe that doesn't want you here more than the devil. The devil doesn't want you here. And more importantly, the devil's biggest goal is to make sure that he separates you from your relationship with the Lord. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're a child of God. But the devil likes to just work his way in, where you are so close to God, yet slowly but surely you watch people just drift away. They're saved, but their relationship with the Lord, their attendance to church, they don't even like the things of God anymore. They're just so out there. And you wonder, how did they even get there? Some of them sit in this chapel. Yet, as the years go on, they just drift away. And today I want you guys, starting here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, I'm going to read verse number 11, then I'll pray. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all to Spirit Week. Thank you for the camaraderie. Thank you for the spirit that the students have had, Lord, to, Lord, be excited, Lord, to be here and to be, Lord, just pursuing a lifetime of service to you. I pray that you be with us this morning as we open your word, Lord, and not be ignorant, Lord, of what the enemy wants to do against us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The verse there says that we should not be ignorant to his devices. It says, lest Satan has an advantage of us. You know, I don't think that some of you would enjoy Spirit Week if you thought another team had the advantage. If you thought somebody had the upper hand. And the Bible says, lest Satan have an upper hand and an advantage against us, we shouldn't be ignorant to his devices. We should understand what Satan's game plan is against us. And his game plan hasn't changed. He's been at it for a long time. But the same things that Satan has done for years, he does to us today, and we can't be ignorant of his devices. He's got a game plan. He's got an approach to how he tries to knock Christians away from the Lord, try to separate them from the walk with God. I want you guys to turn your Bibles over to just a couple chapters over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Paul is talking here. Now, this is 2,000 years ago. And Paul's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan here. And this is what Paul fears to the Christians of Corinth. He says, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ. Paul's biggest fear right here was that Satan was going to complicate the gospel so that people wouldn't get saved. He says, I don't want to corrupt your minds. So your mind should be corrupted through the simplicity that is Christ. The battle that Satan always starts is in the mind. It's always in the mind. He's not physically attacking us. He's not getting a boxing match with us. It starts in our head. What is he putting in our mind? If you look right across the verse number 10 and verse number 4, it says, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul understands that the battlefield against Satan began in the mind. He gets in your head. He gets you to think things. He gets you to change your perspective. He plants a thought in your head. And the initial thought, you say, well, that's not bad. But the thoughts that lead up following are the thoughts that lead you farther and farther away to your relationship with Christ. The battle begins in the mind. But Paul references here something that happened thousands of years before he even said it. He talked about Eve. He said, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted. He's saying the same tools that the serpent used on Eve, the devil's going to use again on you, to the people of Corinth. And I could say to you, the devil's going to use the same tactics against you today. And this morning, for the next couple minutes, I want to talk about some of these devices. This game plan that the devil has. I want you guys to turn over to Genesis chapter number 3. I really got into the book of Genesis this summer because we did a creation camp for junior camp. So shout out to all my camp workers, junior camp workers. Mrs. Turner's here, and Jay Vaughn's here, Brother Tim, Brother Johnny, Brother Josh here. Josh Campbell, is he here? Brother Ruben is here, and many, many others. If I listed Miss Christiana, Miss Sarah E., the list goes on of great camp counselors. If you guys can go to camp next year, it's awesome. But this year we did creation camp. And all week we talked about creation. And on Wednesday we got to take all the kids to the Ark Encounter. And trying to have 80 junior bus kids at the Ark Encounter is not easy, okay? It was like First, we started as like one large group because we thought that would work. And then it was like a stampede going into the ark. It was like, it wasn't good. And then we split up into smaller our cabins. But it was funny because like you have like people there that are like tourists. Like there's older couples that are sitting there and they have a lot of stuff that's for you to read. So people like to go to the exhibit and read it, you know, take it all in. We didn't do any of that, okay? I got to go back and read all the stuff. But there would be like a sweet couple like reading, trying to read like all the facts that all that they put into work. And then you have like four Chicago bus kids just like walk right in front of them and then like just stare at, like look at the dinosaur and then move on. And it was like they had there was no social distancing, like no sense of space or the people around them. They were just like barreling through the ark. And I hope they enjoyed it. But they did. They loved it. Some of the kids are like, I hate camp. And they went to the ark and they're like, yeah, we like camp. That was just the counselors. That was Javon. Javon's like, I hate it. And I took him to the ark for free and he's like, I love it. Still wears his ark bracelet. Are you wearing it today? Oh, he's trying to get rid of the tan line. There it is. Javon, he was a good camp counselor. So in Genesis chapter number 3, the world's a perfect place. They couldn't want anything. I mean, I don't think I would. But in chapter number 3, verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And I love how the God used the word subtle there in both 2 Corinthians and Genesis. And Satan showed up, and let me just say number 1, because it says, now the serpent more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord hath made. And he said unto the woman. It's just talking about a serpent here. If somebody just took that right out, you wouldn't even know it was a devil. It just says, now the serpent was more, it just makes a statement about it. Satan likes to hide behind things. Satan likes to disguise himself in different forms to make it seem less, you know, make it seem like it's something that is like coming after us. Like back then, a snake is something that comes after you, but to hear it says more subtle than any beast of the field, it was something that he used, something that was approachable to Eve at the time, But to us, he makes it look something like it's so innocent. Like it's not going to hurt us. Well, I can have this thought process, but it's not going to hurt my relationship with God. I can have this relationship, or I can hang on to this. You know, I can listen to music and it's not going to affect me. But the devil hides behind those things. He hides behind entertainment. Well, I can watch that. It's not going to affect me, and the devil's like behind it, like, I got you. But right away, the devil uses a disguise. He uses something to hide behind. And as people that are preparing for the work of the Lord, you can't be so naive. You can't be ignorant and say, well, it's not the devil. Or it's not trying to hurt my relationship with God. Sometimes people, you know that it has a possibility to, yet we play dumb because we're just going along with the facade. And some of us know it's a facade, but we just go along with it anyway. Now is the first tool here for the devil to even get up, to even get close to or approach Eve, because he was using a disguise, something that he could get close and make his move without it seeming like it was a threat. Number 2, you know, he starts questioning God for what God had provided Eve. And that's another thing that the devil does. Not only does he disguise himself and hide behind things to just make us go along with it, thinking that it's not going to draw us farther and farther away from God. But he makes us think that what God has given us isn't good enough. That's sometimes the biggest tool the devil we use around, yeah, God called you to the ministry, but is that good enough for you? Is serving God full time with your life, is that really good enough for you and what you want? That's some of the questions that the devil puts in people's heads. God gave them the whole garden except one. And all the devil wants to focus is on the negative, just the one. Instead of saying, hey, God gave you all this. Yeah, that's great. The devil likes to focus on the one thing you don't have. The one thing you can't have. Well, because you're a Christian and because you're an independent fundamental Baptist, you can't do this. And the devil wants to just pinpoint things. You can't do this. You can't wear this. You can't listen to this. Church should be like this. And that's why you watch so many graduates that sit in Bible college slowly fall away and their doctrine falls away because the devil points about little things. And says, well, this isn't good enough. God, what God's given you is not good enough, so you should just go in this direction. And we believe those lies. Yeah, I should go along with that. Yeah, I should follow that because it's just not good enough. I'm missing out on something. And that's what God gets in your, that's what the devil gets in your head. It's not good enough. The next thing he wants you to question is God's word. Is God's word. The devil wants to attack God's word. That's why a lot of times, just I was talking about people that start going a little left in what they believe and keep going over to the other side. And guys, I'm not talking to you somebody who's twice your age. I'm talking about somebody who's graduated 6 years ago. That people start believing another way. Start changing the way. They thought one way in college, and then suddenly in 5 years, they reevaluate their entire existence. And a lot of those decisions are made when they start saying, well, the Bible says this, and they start kind of positioning the Bible in a way of how they think and how they want to go. Because the devil says, well, how you think is more important. And as soon as the Bible is not preeminent in your life, and you say, well, the Bible can change. I can use a different one. Suddenly, your opinion is better than the Bible's. And that's where the devil gets in your head. The word of God. The devil said to Eve in that right there, yea, hath God said. He's starting to question God's word. God's word's not good enough. He wants to question it. Do your own thing. What do you think? How do you feel? And Eve starts following along with it, starts questioning God's word. Guys, listen, God's word should be number one in your life. And it shouldn't change 5 years from now either. You guys need to find out now. This is where I stand. The Bible's number one. It doesn't matter if my best friend in college goes a different way, or my roommate goes a different way, or if the church that I join starts going a different way, I'm out. Because I'm following what God wants me to do. Starts to question God's word. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted Eve to take that fruit. Because he knew that the moment Eve took that fruit and ate of it and gave it to Adam and he ate of it. The devil knew even more than Adam and Eve how much of a life-altering decision that was. You know, the next thing that the devil uses, one of his devices against you, is he tries to get you to make a life-altering decision. A decision that you don't think is so life-altering, but it is. How many missionaries we could have had? How many preachers we could have had out there starting churches, youth pastors? If the devil didn't convince one college student, you should quit. You should walk away. You shouldn't come back next semester. You should take a semester off. Isn't that a good one? Just take one semester off. How many people that say, I need to take a semester off, that could have just came back and just worked it and trusted the Lord? But the devil makes you make one life-altering decision that changes the rest of your life. It's just one time. Nobody's ever going to find out. Those types of decisions that you make are life-altering decisions. The next, I want you guys to look over to go back to 2 Corinthians, where we started at, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Devil likes to disguise himself behind things that look innocent. He makes us think that what God has given us isn't good enough. He makes us question God's word. He makes us try to make life-altering decisions that we don't even realize. But in the verse before, in verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says, "For whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake forgive I it in the person of Christ." Then after it talks about forgiveness, it gives us that verse, lest Satan should have an advantage. You know, the devil likes to find a way. He likes to find a foothold, a way to wiggle in when there's unforgiveness in our life. The devil likes to find a person or a thing that we are bitter about, that we're unforgiving about. And that's just a way for him to get in, to get an advantage. And if there's somebody in your life that you say, I'm holding something against somebody, you need to get that figured out. You need to ask the Lord to help you. Because you don't want, the devil already has enough room as it is, you don't want to give him any extra. And you need to find somebody. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's your parents, and just say, listen, I am bitter about this. I need you to forgive me. I need you to forgive me about this. I need to forgive you. We don't want to give room to the devil. Lastly, if you guys want to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to reference the other one, but another way that the devil gets us away from the Lord is the devil likes us to focus on our bad current circumstances. You know, I was reading through the book of Job this year, and Job was a man that God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then God allowed Satan to go in and kind of cause some disruption in Job's life, and that's an understatement. Satan went in, and God says, "You could do anything you want, just don't kill Job." Went in, killed his kids, took his wealth, took his health. But it was interesting that when all Satan's game plan was, if I do this, he'll curse you. Sometimes we think that when bad things are happening to us, Satan wanted my car to break down. No, he wants you to be angry at God. You know, something was taken from me. My child was taken from me. I lost my job. Satan's not in it for you to lose a job. Satan's in it for you to be to distance yourself from God. That was his whole game plan. That was his whole game plan with Job. And oftentimes we focus so much on the circumstances that it just takes us away from God. But I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 8. Talks about when Paul was asking God to take his infirmity away from him. Oh, I got the wrong passage for you. Oh. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and ye shall also have all sufficiency, and all things may abound every good work." He also says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, so I could be strong in your weakness, that the power of God may rest upon me." Saying that God is thinking good towards you. God wants to give it to you, you know, help you through those tough times. Why? Because God says if you don't look at the weakness as just God giving you bad circumstances, God's saying I could set you up so that when those times came, when your car breaks down, you're more reliant on God. God's not thinking bad towards you. God's thinking good towards you. And God doesn't want us to focus on the weakness and saying, well, I have this illness, and he wants us to focus on the illness. God wants to focus on, well, because of this illness, I can rely more on God, so that the power of God may rest upon me. But the devil doesn't want us to think about us relying on God. The devil wants us to think about the circumstance. Guys, the devil, that's just a couple of them. And I'm sure if you look through the Bible, you could see time and time again how the devil just uses his devices against a servant of Christ to get him just far away from God as possible. You guys can turn, lastly, to John chapter 15. The best way for me to combat that, the best way you can combat that as a college student is abiding with Christ and making sure that you have a relationship with Christ. The Bible says, "I am a true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And God wants us to be clean. God wants to make sure that we're doing right and living a life in our public life and our private life. And he says, "Now that you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." You know, one of the best things that we can do is keep a strong relationship with Christ. When we're staying close to Christ, the devil's devices seem less and less easy to penetrate us when we're staying close to Christ. And let me tell you some of these, in closing, let me just tell you the two benefits here that are so important for you as college students. Let me tell you the biggest discouragement for people when they're in college is when they get away from the Lord. And the biggest sign of that is when they're not bearing much fruit and they're not seeing the Lord becoming real in their life. And he says that, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Then he even says, later on he says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." God says, if you ask for something, it will be done unto you. God becomes real to you. Through your prayer life, through your walk with the Lord, you're in a close relationship with God that God is just guiding you through. That's not just say, well, if you buy to me, you ask for anything, $1 million, and you're going to get it. No, God's just going to take care of you. God's going to reveal himself to you. But I'll tell you, the goal is not the fruit and for you to be able to have the Lord come through for you. The goal should be abiding with Christ. But so oftentimes people, the easiest way that people get bad attitudes, they just get rotten attitudes about the staff, about their classes, about the rules, about their bus route. I'll tell you the big sign of the people that have that type of attitude, the people that don't see much fruit, and the people that don't have a lot of direction. That's just the sign of it. But the core issue there is that they don't have a close relationship with Christ. You know, when you lead somebody to the Lord on Saturday, it's a good day. When it's the first of the month coming up and things are tight and God comes through from you, and you say, man, I don't know how I made it through last month, but my bill's paid and I'm still in classes. That's a result of people that abide with Christ. Guys, the closer to stay to Christ, the farther away the devil will be. Every time Jesus was around, they were gone. Every time that he showed up, some demon was messing around, they scrammed because Jesus was around. And if I could challenge you guys anything this morning, listen, don't be ignorant to the devil. So, the devil knocks too many people out because people are ignorant to his devices. But the way that you're going to avoid that game plan and get around it is by staying as close to Christ as possible in your life. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us to chapel today. Thank you for Lord Spirit Week. Thank you for, Lord, the staff and everybody that worked so hard to put together, Lord. Lord, I pray that you put a hedge of protection around this student body, the staff, Lord, and keep the devil as far away from as possible from them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we go through our Christian walk with you, I pray that you help us abide with you on a daily basis, Lord. And Lord, just let the fruit and Lord, the closeness to you be a sign of us abiding with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.